I watched children playing in the cramped concourse, trying to run, but tripping over feet, bags, themselves, and I wished for their energy at such an early hour. I stared out the wall of windows, into the dull darkness giving way to morning light, as I waited anxiously to board my flight to Minneapolis. While I was excited to see my best friend, it had been more than a year since I'd been on a plane, and I wasn't looking forward to the flight. You see, I hate to fly, but not for the reasons you might suspect. I'm not afraid that the engines will stop working and will plunge into the sea, or that we'll be hijacked. For me, the trouble with flying has always been this. I used to be too big for the space that each passenger is allotted on a plane. My large body once overflowed my assigned space. My arms overlapped those of the other passengers in my row. My thighs rubbed against a stranger's and robbed her of her personal space. I felt sorry for my fellow travelers. Sorry that they couldn't be at ease beside me. Once in my chair, I dreaded any hint of pressure below my waist. I loathed the experience of getting up and bumbling toward the closet of a bathroom, all while knocking sleeping passengers with my baggy arms and bumping them with my ample behind. It terrified me, and I would have to do it again on the way back after cramming myself into the tiny toilet and emptying my bladder. I avoided the unbearable experience with a simple prescription: no fluids for 2 hours before takeoff and empty twice before boarding. While I suspected this trip would be different after some recent weight loss, I wasn't taking any chances. When I returned to the waiting area after my final trip to the restroom and settled back into my chair, I heard a discussion taking place behind my back between four college students. I flipped through my magazine, barely listening but catching bits and pieces of their conversation. Who had which classes and professors the next semester? Who else would be on their trip to Costa Rica? Then I heard one young man with a gravelly morning voice pipe up. "Well, that's why they decrease the weight of the luggage you can take, because people have gotten so heavy," he said. Another student, a young woman with a high, whiny voice, spoke up with disgust. "I know, America's getting so fat." I cringed as though she had reached out to strike me. I immediately wanted to disappear into the faux leather of my chair. In my mind, I knew that they weren't talking about me, not the person they could see anyway, but I still slouched in my seat, attempting to hide a heavier ghost of myself. A third student, this time a young woman with a kinder, softer voice, said, "I heard they were supposed to be making adjustments and stuff so that those people aren't so uncomfortable, like making the seats bigger and the aisles wider." I attempted to peek over my shoulder to get a good look at this friend of mine without letting the group know I was eavesdropping, but I only caught a glimpse out of the corner of my eye before another male voice, deeper and firmer than the first young man's, entered the conversation. "As far as I'm concerned," he said, "that's not always something people can control. I mean, people's bodies are made to be a certain size." He must know someone, I thought to myself, someone who's dealt with these insults and struggles. Someone like me. If one of them had looked at me at that moment, I doubt they would have had any clue why their words should affect me. On the outside, I looked like an average-sized woman. In fact, for the first time in more than a decade, I am an average-sized woman. Little did they know that inside my shrinking suit of flesh was a permanently fat version of myself. When the flight attendants called my section, I boarded the plane with my carry-on bag. Though my flight anxiety was building, I smiled at the attendants and wished them a good morning as I passed. I settled into the aisle seat that used to cause me indescribable discomfort and watched the others board. When my roommates arrived, I moved easily into the aisle for them and then slid back without any difficulty. I adjusted the air nozzle above me to blow on my face and leaned back, trying to relax. The flight attendants directed our attention to the safety pamphlets in the pockets of the seats in front of us, and the safety video began. I tuned it all out and closed my eyes. A short while after takeoff, the drink cart jostled me from my nap, and a flight attendant offered, "Soft drink, coffee, tea, or water?" I knew I shouldn't drink anything, and I was already feeling some bladder pressure. Still, I was extremely thirsty. I hesitated for a moment and then requested a diet soda. She passed it to me with a cup of ice and a bag of pretzels, and as she pushed the cart past me to the next row, it occurred to me that my legs were crossed comfortably in front of me. I was resting without care in a tight space. Still, even in the midst of this realization, my chest tightened and my stomach churned at the thought of heading to the back of the plane to release the pressure now screaming at me from my bladder. I finished off my snack slowly, delaying the inevitable. I took a deep breath, slowly lifted the hatch on my lap belt, and stood without once gracing the traveler to my left. This surprised me, but I continued to move. When I finally reached the lavatory, it wasn't as teeny and threatening as I remembered it. I closed the door and locked it without incident. I was able to turn around, I did it twice just to prove it to myself, and sit down on the toilet without any adjustment or squeezing. Back in my seat, I breathed a sigh of relief and settled myself once again. It was not me those students were referring to in the waiting area for gate C3, I realized, but a ghost of me that still visits now and then. She reminds me of where I've been and how far I've come. She nudges me with compassion for those whose size continues to be an obstacle too frightening to face alone. And just in case I ever forget what it felt like to wear those extra layers of flesh, she makes me have to pee on an airplane.
Signal contributor Amy Spencer. Her essay, Flying with a Ghost, appears in the literary collection New Lines from the Old Line State, an anthology of Maryland writers. You can find out more about the book online at marylandwriters.org.